Today our scripture comes from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3 and 12 through 13. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. We give thanks for the reading of our scripture this morning. Chris Haar read it for us. And we now turn our attention to seeking its understanding for our lives today. So I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer where we ask God's Holy Spirit to help us with that. Come, Holy Spirit. We give thanks for your word, which we find help, comfort, strength, guidance every time we read it. It is the living word of God to us. And we pray that we might hear your word today. By your power, help us to cleanse our minds, to put aside all things that might hinder, distract, or hinder us from hearing what you have to say to us. I pray, God, that you would enable me, by your grace and by the anointing of your Holy Spirit, to proclaim your word in a way that glorifies you and lifts you up and draws all to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're wrapping up a series of sermons we've had over the last 5 weeks called Finding Freedom. And we've been talking about biblical ways that we can break free from the things that tend to bind us or to hold us back from experiencing life as God created us to live. And I remind you how in Jesus' very first sermon, he told his listeners that I have come to bring good news to the poor. I have come to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. And this promise is ours to claim. I mean, Jesus wants to set you free from whatever it is that might be keeping you in bondage or holding you back from experiencing life as he created for you. And in week one, we talked about taking the first step toward breaking free. And that is to dare to hope again. To dare to hope again. Many people are bound by the belief that their circumstances in life are never going to change. It's always going to be this way forever. And, you know, getting out of bondage then is daring. It is to begin that deliberate choice to believe that there's light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, it may seem like your situation is never going to change. It is always going to be this way. There's no way out. But that's not true. God is at work. He sees your struggles and your suffering. And even now, God is at work trying to set you free. In week two, we talked about how we can break free from emotional bondage by continuing to do what we would do if everything was the way we wanted it to be. I mean, we continue to take care of ourselves physically. We look for ways that, and opportunities that we can serve other people and to serve God. We seek God's presence every day of our lives. And when you do those good things, then you begin to feel better emotionally. And life becomes better. And so you keep plugging away. You keep doing those things that you would do if everything was the way you wanted it to be. And in week three, we saw how freedom is really handed out in 24-hour increments. That is, freedom, success, victory comes only one day at a time. And then tomorrow we have to do it all over again. So you have to learn how to appreciate the importance of each day that we have. And you need to repeat tomorrow all the good things that you did yesterday. And the idea, the goal is that you would gain momentum in your life. That's the principle of the grease tracks. That each day you begin to build upon the success of the previous day. You gain momentum in that. Last week we talked about the importance of breaking free from the undue influence of others and the need for approval. We talked about overcoming the undue critical opinions of other people, undue criticism. We talked about overcoming the temptation of always comparing yourself to others and our need to grant others forgiveness. If you want to find freedom, then you really have to be willing to say, I am seeking the favor of God and not the favor of others. Today we're going to be talking about a principle that is perhaps more important or more essential than all of these that we talked about. Now, that's not to say that all the others aren't important. They are. But without an unwavering commitment to this single quality that we're talking about today, you will never experience lasting freedom. And the quality we're talking about today is persistence. Persistence. It is a willingness, a determination to try again and again and even again. The truth is, most worthwhile accomplishments we have in life, they never come with the first effort. You ever notice that? I mean, they're rarely accomplished in the first effort. Success comes usually as a result of repeated efforts. A health professional once told me that the single greatest predictor of a smoker's ability to quit smoking is that they have tried and failed at least once. In other words, rarely do smokers successfully quit on their first try. Many will try and fail, and they'll never try again. But those who quit for a lifetime are those who have the determined persistence to keep trying, even when the last time didn't work out. The same can be said when it comes to things like dieting or any other self-improvement goal we might have in life. It can also be said of our efforts toward holy living. People who create lasting change are those who have the courage to keep on trying, failure after humiliating failure. I've experienced this principle in my own life, and I have no doubt that you've experienced it as well. The areas in which you have finally found freedom are those areas in which you've been willing to put into practice this principle of persistence. Persistence. So if you find yourself bound by bad habits, by some kind of addiction, or repeated failure in your life, or besetting sins, then I want you to know that a life of victory is possible. If, with God's help, you're willing to persist. President Calvin Coolidge once said, "Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, 'Press on,' has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race." Now, we could probably nitpick his statement here a little bit, because he seems to indicate that all victory rests on human effort, and I'll have something more to say about that as we go further. But for now, I'm encouraging you to really focus on the essential part of the main point of Calvin Coolidge's statement, and that is that persistence is the key to lasting change. And I imagine that I'm probably preaching to the choir this morning, except they're not here. But I think we can all agree, I'm pretty sure we all agree, that on the importance of this principle of persistence. I mean, even if you're in a state of non-persistence, you still realize how important and essential persistence is. We know how important it is to press on, and yet sometimes we seem to lack the power or the motivation to actually do it. So today I want to talk about getting a permanent handle on this principle of persistence in our lives. Because before you can accomplish anything worthwhile in life, before you can really experience any level of victory in your life, you have to develop this quality of persistence. Without persistence, the inevitable setbacks and obstacles that you will face in life will simply eventually get the best of you, and you'll find yourself wanting to quit. So let's consider how we can make persistence a daily practice in our lives. And the first step that we need to do in this process is that you need to nail down the why of persistence. The why. I once heard a motivational speaker say that if you have a big enough why, then you'll figure out the how. I think there's a lot of truth in that. So I want you to think about why. Why is succeeding in this area that you're trying to affect change in your life, why is that so important to you? Why is this area of freedom so important to you? Why is this area of victory that you're striving for so important to you? Why? And there are many reasons that people are motivated to do the things they do. There's money, there's power, there's prestige, along with many other things. But let me suggest a couple of motivations, or a couple of whys, that I think will keep you going even when you feel the need to call it quits. And the first of these is that your persistence pleases God. Your persistence pleases God. If your goal is a good goal, if your goal is something like, I want to see victory in my life over this sin I'm struggling with, or I want to break the habit of this addiction that is destroying my life, or I want to be able to serve God in some area of ministry of my life, things like, I want a better marriage, or I want to be a better parent. If your goal is a goal that you know has God's stamp of approval on it, then know that God wants you to persist in pursuing that goal. It pleases Him when you do. This is why Solomon said, "For though the righteous fall 7 times, they will rise again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity." In other words, Solomon seems to be saying that persistence is the quality that separates the righteous from the wicked. To be sure, you know, both righteous and wicked fall and fail. We all do. That's not the question. But the righteous person is the one who seems to be able to get up over and over again because they're seeking to please God. Their why enables them to tap into a resource of motivation that others often don't have. In our text for today, the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." In other words, he's saying, keep trying. Keep persisting, because God wants you to. It pleases God when you do. Look, God knows that we're not perfect. He created us. He knows that we're going to fail and we're going to fall and stumble at times. That's just reality for us. But God is pleased when we keep trying. And that's just about enough why to keep doing what we're doing. I mean, that's all the why you need, right? But there's another why that I think is important as well. Not only does persistence please God, but persistence benefits others too. In his first letter to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians, and this is a church that withstood a lot of opposition and hardship. And Paul writes to them by saying, "In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God became known everywhere." So when you persist and you ultimately end up winning the battle, you become an inspiration to others. Your message then becomes, if I can do it, so can you. So finding freedom doesn't just benefit you. It also benefits others. It gives others hope. It gives them a reason to keep trying. And when you're persistent in your life, it gives you the opportunity to be a blessing to others, to help others, even to serve others. So when you find yourself asking the question, why should I keep trying? I failed over and over again. Why should I keep trying again? Think about what your persistence means to God. And think about what it means to others. Let those things be your why for hanging in there and to keep going. If you want to make persistence a permanent part of your daily life, then you have to nail down the why of persistence. But secondly, you also have to nail down the how of persistence. There's a saying that the definition of insanity is that you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You're familiar with that, right? Well, there are some who would say, well, what's the difference between insanity and persistence? I mean, isn't it crazy to be persistent, to keep trying and trying and expecting something different to be the outcome? Well, business leader Seth Godin says this in reference to that question. He says, persistence isn't using the same tactics over and over. That's just annoying. Persistence is having the same goal over and over. It's a big difference. There's a story in the Gospel of John that happened after the resurrection of Jesus. The disciples were out on the boat fishing. They'd fished all night long and they'd caught nothing. And then Jesus is on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and he calls out to them and he says, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. It was like Jesus is saying, try again. Just this time, do it a little bit differently. Try something different. And the goal didn't change. The goal was to catch fish. But when they modified their approach, their method, their strategy, they ended up catching fish. It worked this time. And I think it's the same way in most of life. I mean, for example, if your goal is to develop a more vibrant devotional life with God, and you've tried that and you just can't seem to keep it on a consistent basis, then you might think about, how could I do that differently? How could I change my approach? Maybe I need to do it earlier in the day, or maybe I need to do it later in the day. Maybe I need to get an accountability partner that could help me with this. Maybe I need to get a devotional guide that can lead me through this. Or maybe I need to change the location where I do my devotions to be more conducive to that. Instead of giving up, you need to ask yourself, how might I do something differently? What are some ways that I could cast my net on the other side of the boat? The how of persistence. It's not just doing the same thing over and over again, trying and failing and expecting something different and going insane. The how of persistence is that as you keep pressing on, you look for ways to adapt. You look for ways that you could do it differently, to do it better until you finally reach your goal. But there's one other how of persistence that we can't overlook in this process. And that is that you need to keep seeking God in the whole process. You need to keep seeking God. You need to keep asking for God's help. Because rarely does lasting change occur in one's life purely by one's own efforts. And there's a balance that we really need to try to maintain here. I mean, I hear people all the time saying that if God wants me to have the victory over this area of my life, then God will provide the victory. He'll give me the victory. Or if God didn't want me to be this way, then God wouldn't have made me this way. Or if God wants me to succeed at this, then God will make a way for that to happen. Have you found yourself saying those kind of things? Well, the problem with that is that these are really typical ways that we try to absolve ourselves of any responsibility and put all the blame on God. And that's not how it works. If you're going to succeed at breaking free and finding freedom, you have to take responsibility for your part in that process of success, whatever the goal is. We must be willing to put forth our best effort with God's help. And this is where I would tweak that statement of President Calvin Coolidge when he talks about human effort. I mean, human effort, yes, it is essential, but it is never enough by itself. In the process of putting forth your best effort, you must understand that it is only by the power of God that we are ultimately victorious. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think the key part of that verse is through Christ. And for this reason, we need to call on Christ. We need to call on Jesus every day for his help and his strength, saying, God, I'm going to do my best, but I know that I can't accomplish it without your help. That's how it works. And you can make that request because you know that he has promised you the victory. He has promised you liberty. He has promised to set you free. So never give up in asking for his help to set you free. The prophet Isaiah, I love what the prophet Isaiah has to say about this in chapter 62. He says, "You who call on the Lord, give yourself no rest, and give Him no rest, till He establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth." That phrase, "give yourself no rest," he's talking about persistence here, right? But the next phrase where he says, "give God no rest," I found that quite interesting. I've heard people say quite often that, you know, "I just hate to bother God with my little problems. I mean, God's got so many other bigger things to deal with than my problems." You heard people say that? But Isaiah seems to be saying, give God no rest. Give God no rest. In other words, remind God again and again, as many times as it takes. Remind God that you need His help and that you're waiting for the victory that He promised to be realized in your life, the victory of freedom. You remember Jesus told a very similar parable about a woman who persisted in pestering this judge day in and day out for justice, and she finally received it. God wants us to call on Him. And I think that the reason God wants us to be persistent in calling on Him is because when we're calling on God, our eyes are focused on Jesus and we're not focusing ourselves so much on our problems. This is why the writer of Hebrews says in today's text, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith." So the key to persistence is that you keep trying and trying again and again, changing your strategies and your methods along the way if that's necessary. But there's one thing that never changes, and that is you keep your eyes focused on Jesus. For He is the perfecter of our faith. He is the one that has come to set us free. And so you call on Him, and you call on Him again and again. You give God no rest in seeking His help, claiming His promise of forgiveness. So if you want to make persistence a permanent part of your daily life, then you need to nail down the why, and you need to nail down the how of persistence. And finally, you need to nail down the when of persistence. And I really don't think I need to spend a lot of time preaching on this point, because I think we all understand when is, right? When is today. It's today. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. God wants you to persist in your difficulties. He wants you to persist by beginning today. And He wants you to continue tomorrow. Because victory will not come until we start persisting, taking steps to do it today. And we've all been guilty when it comes to procrastination in these areas of our lives. We've all been guilty of saying, you know, I'll deal with that. I'm really going to get serious about doing that tomorrow, or after I get this job, or after the holidays, or after dealing with this issue, or when this project is finished. You know, we've always got a tomorrow. That's just our human nature. But God says, today. Today is the day. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about defining what really matters in your life, and then taking steps to break free from those things that are holding you back, from accomplishing those things, realizing those things. But all of these ideals that we've talked about over the last several weeks, they all fall by the wayside if you don't decide now to persist in pursuing them. And with God's help, when you fall, you get up again. When you fail, you try again. As Walter Elliott said, "Perseverance is not a long race. It is many short races, one after another." The Christian life is realized one day at a time. One day at a time, persisting our way through setbacks and through failures with the courage try again and again. This is how we find freedom. For this reason, the writer of Hebrews says to us, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. You know, once you have nailed down the why and the how and the when of persistence, it's really just a matter of putting those things into practice. Persistence says, with God's help and with God's promise, I'm ready to try again. And I'm willing to begin today. Today. That's God's hope for us. That's God's call for us as we seek to serve Him and to live the life that He created us for. May it begin today. Let us pray together. Lord God, we thank You for these words of Scripture that remind us that we are all on this journey. And as within any race, God, there are setbacks, there are difficulties, there are challenges. And so often, God, we have allowed ourselves just to throw up our hands and quit. And You stand on the sidelines calling us back into the race to minister to us, to give us whatever we need to put us back in the race. And You go alongside of us. You run alongside of us every day, encouraging us, giving us what we need to persevere with persistence. Thank You, God, for that assurance. Help us to take Your hand, to join You in Your call, that we would begin today to run with You, to follow Your will, to complete the race. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.